four away.
And we gather at the river, where we're riding to see a dawn. With this crystal time forever, flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Yes,
we'll be right back.
455, nel nome di Gesù.
See each and every one of you. Especially glad to see a couple of friends of ours that Carol and I have been worshiping with most of our lives. Won't mention how many years that is, but it's many. That's Gene and Thurman Bishop. They're from the Blue Ridge Church, and of course I was a member there myself for 35 years before I moved my membership to Bethlehem Church that I'm now the pastor of. But certainly glad to see them. Glad to see each one of you. And I've turned to a portion of scripture here that I want to speak about this morning. You know, you all know recently, I don't know, 3 months ago, I became pretty inflicted with what the doctors are calling rheumatoid arthritis. And I've gotten better with it, but the doctor told me last week, he said, if you're expecting me to get rid of this, don't look for that, because there's no cure for it. But there are medicines to prevent its progression that they used to not have. So I trust in the Lord. I know the Lord can heal it. I know that. But I'm trusting in Him. But with all of that going on with me, me 76 years old, going approaching 77, you know, I started beginning to think about a place that's our heavenly home. I got to thinking about heaven. I long to be there. I have a hope in my heart that I'm headed there. And in spite of all the pains and troubles we go through in this life, I have a hope that there's something that's better down the road. And God's Word tells me about it. I want to talk about our heavenly home. heaven and immortal glory. Now, you know, I want to read a portion of scripture found in the book of Revelations. Now, you know, some preachers, and I'm not going to take issue with any preacher that wants to tell about anything or preach anything about what the book of Revelation teaches or doesn't teach, but I don't try to take no complicated view about the book of Revelations. The book of Revelations is just the end of the New Testament that God gives us a preview or a review about the place that we're headed and who's going there. And we'll see some of that this morning, the Lord being my helper. We want to begin here in chapter 21 of the book of Revelations, which I believe chapter 21 and 22, which are the last two chapters of the book of Revelation and the last two chapters of the entire New Testament, are a description of heaven that we can read about and look forward to. And I'm not going to read all of it, but I want to read the first few verses of chapter 21. It begins like this. John says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea." Now, he begins there by saying he saw a new heaven. He saw a new earth. He saw a place where men would reside. Men would live. Why? Because the old heaven and the old earth were passed away. Now, I believe that's a scripture that tells me that this earth is just temporary. This earth and this heaven we live on is just temporary. It's going to pass away. When Jesus comes, there's going to be no need of this earth and this heaven that we live upon. He's taking us to a different place, a new heaven and a new earth. And then he goes on and says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And then in verse 3 says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Now, I believe that first part of that third scripture just tells me that this new heaven, which will be a tabernacle that is of God, and men will preside over it, or will live in it. It's with men. This tabernacle of God is with men. "And he," that is God, "will dwell with them." God will be with the men that are in heaven as they reside in the tabernacle of God. God will be with them. He says, "The tabernacle of God is with men, and he," God, "will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." And then in verse 4, which is one of the most comforting verses of all the scripture that describes for us what heaven will be like. Now, some may take the position from this scripture that this is talking about the New Testament church, but it can't be talking about the New Testament church because of what verse 4 says here about it. He says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Well, now, you know, it hadn't been that long since I wept over something myself. So I haven't had all tears wiped away from my eyes. And then he goes on to say, "And there shall be no more death." Well, I hate to tell you, but we're all experiencing death. And in the church kingdom, we experience death every day. The saints of God pass away, and we bury them here upon the earth. So it's not talking about the church kingdom. It can't be. This is a place where no more tears, no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. pain. I know it's not talking about this place, because I'm experiencing pain right now in my hand. So in the church kingdom, we still have pain. But in this place, heaven and immortal glory, the place that God has given to us, a place that God has prepared for us, a place that we're going to after this life is over, there will be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. And then he says in verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now, you know, he didn't have to say that for me to believe they're true and faithful. This is God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. And I believe they're true. I believe they're faithful. I believe this is a description of a place that we're going, our heavenly home, a place that we're headed after this life is over. Now, I want to take a look at some scriptures, several of them. I won't have time to get to all that maybe that I could, but I'm going to get to as many as I can in what time I have. The scriptures tell us about this place I'll call our heavenly home. We want to go back all the way over here to the book of Matthew, where we'll see something it says about this place, our heavenly home, this place called heaven. Now, this particular scripture, let me say it to you right now, is a timely application of us as God's children to heaven. This is not something that we do to improve ourselves in heaven. This is not something we do to make heaven a better place for us while we live here in this time. So let's read what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 6. He said in verse 19, he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Now Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now, you know we all have homes that we've bought and we live in. For the most part, we all live in very nice, comfortable homes. I live in me and Carol live up at Chatsworth. Our home is not by any means any multi-million-dollar mansion, but it's a comfortable, livable, very nice home. But it doesn't stay that way. I have to every now and then spend money on it every now and then. I have to replace some wood that'll rot, or I have to paint it, or keep it looking nice. There's something here upon this earth, and as he says here, upon earth where rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Now you know you can't build up things here upon this earth that won't go away. You may have a nice investment in some investment somewhere. It may be doing good right now because the market is good, but tomorrow it may collapse. Anything you have here upon this earth, don't lay up treasures on this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, because it'll not satisfy. Then he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now, what is he talking about there? Can we do something here upon this earth to make our home in heaven better when we get there? Absolutely not. And that's not what he's talking about. But what he is talking about is that when you spend your time with God and in God's Word, and with God and in the worship of God on a regular basis, you build up for yourselves a treasure of the place that God has prepared for you and you're going, which is heaven and immortal glory. And you will enjoy the benefits of those treasures while you live here in time. It'll have no effect on what God has prepared for you and has given to you and will take you to one day. He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, if your treasure is things upon this earth, that's where your heart will be. But if your treasure is upon things in heaven, upon things of God, that's where your heart will be. So keep your mind on the things of God. Keep your mind on heavenly things. Keep your mind of that heavenly home that God has prepared and laid up for us to carry us to one day when this life is over. Another thing this scripture tells me about this place called heaven is this: it has a register in it. It has a register of the names of every single inhabitant of it. That's called the Lamb's Book of Life. How do I know that Lamb's Book of Life is good? Because that Lamb's Book of Life was written, and those names were written in it by God the Father. God the Father himself wrote that book. God the Father himself knows every name that's written in that book. God the Father himself will save every single name that's in that book. God the Father himself will come back someday and carry every last name of the people in that book to heaven and immortal glory. Let's read something in the book of Luke where there were 70 men that were selected to go out to preach the gospel, to go out and tell the good news about Jesus and who he was. And when they went out, they found some things that happened as a result of the fact that Jesus sent them out there and Jesus was with them. It says here in the book of Luke, chapter 10, beginning there at verse 17, it says, and after the 70 were sent out and they returned, it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now they were rejoicing that they went out and the devils, the evil spirits, the people that were evil in the world were subject unto them. And they said, Lord, even the devils were subject unto us. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you. Now I'm going to stop right there because I want to put a quietus to some things that's going on in some congregations. That scripture does not give you the authority to test God or to prove God's word truth by coming into church and handling snakes and scorpions and things that'll bite you and take your life. That scripture does not tell you that if you hold a snake and he bites you, it will not harm you. If you have faith, that it'll not harm you. If you handle a rattlesnake and it bites you and you don't get medical attention, I can assure you, you will die as a result of it. This scripture ain't telling you that you can do that. This scripture is telling you when Christ sends you out to do something, He'll be with you. He'll protect you. He'll protect you from anything that'll harm you. And you can trust in that. And that's all that scripture is telling you. Notwithstanding in this, He said, even the evil spirits are subject unto you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now I'm telling you, child of God, God has written your name in heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're assured, as sure as God is God, and there is no other, that you're going to your heavenly home, heaven and immortal glory. So you rejoice this morning, not because the evil spirits are subject to you, not because of anything, but you rejoice that God has written your name in heaven and that your names are written there in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as I've already told you, that book that's in heaven, it contains the names of every single individual that will reside in heaven with God the Father and God the Son. There'll be no doubt about votes that weren't counted, or any names that were left out, or anybody that wanted to get there and didn't make it. Those names are written there by God, and every single one of them will be there in that heavenly home with God. So you rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now we want to turn over here to a scripture where we'll find out that this heavenly home that I'm talking about is a place where Jesus went when He ascended up into heaven and was received up into a cloud and went there to heaven and immortal glory. And Jesus went there, he describes it for us before He left. He said He was going there to prepare a place for us, and then He says He will, when he gets it ready, He's coming again. You can count on it. You can believe it. I'm telling you, He's coming again. Don't let anybody ever say, well, they've been saying that now for over 2,000 years. He's coming again, and He hadn't come yet. I don't know when He's coming. It may be today. It may be tomorrow. It may be 100 years. I don't know, but I know for sure, no doubt in my mind, that Jesus is leaving His portal of glory and coming down to this earth to receive His bride and take them to heaven to be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. And He's not coming down here to set His foot in Jerusalem and set up a kingdom there to rule and reign 1,000 years. No, when he leaves that throne of glory where He's at, He's coming down from heaven to receive His children, those that have gone the way of the grave and those that will be changed from a mortal to an immortal unto Himself, to carry them back home to our heavenly home to ever live with Him. This is what Jesus said in the 14th chapter of the book of John. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. There it is. He's coming again. You can rely on it. You can believe believe it. You can trust in it. I will come again, he says. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. What is the way? How do we know? He tells us a little further down in this. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. It's by Jesus that we'll go. It's not by anything that I do, anything that you do, but Jesus is coming again to receive those that God the Father gave to him, to carry them home to their heavenly place, that place in heaven is a place where God has prepared for us. Now I want to turn over here to a couple of other scriptures. It is a place, this heavenly home of ours is a place where Christ resides. It's a place where Christ is at. Christ is there right this very minute. You may be asked the question sometimes. Some people say, well, if Christ rose from the grave, where's the evidence that he's at today? Where is he at? He's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. How do I know he's there? Well, God, through his providence, recorded for me a scripture where an eyewitness looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus. I'm telling you, they were stoning this man to death. He had every reason to see anything but what he saw, but he looked up into heaven. What did he see when he looked up there? He saw Jesus. What did he see Jesus doing? He saw Jesus standing. You say, well, Brother Aaron, I thought when Christ went to heaven, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, he did. Why did he sit down? He sat down because he finished the work that God the Father gave to him to do before the foundation of the world. And when he finished the work, he could sit down and rest upon that finished work. But he's not through working. He's still there. What is he doing? He's interceding in our behalf. There is one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. He's our mediator. He's our advocate. He's there mediating and advocating in our behalf between us and God the Father. And that's what was happening here in this particular case. It's found in the book of Acts, and what it is, it's where Stephen was preaching, and whenever Stephen preached, they came together to stone Stephen to death. And as they were stoning Stephen to death, it says here, and in verse 56 here of the seventh chapter of Acts, verse 56, and he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now here was Stephen. They were stoning him to death. He looked up into heaven. What did he see? He saw the Son of Man. Now listen to that. The Son of Man. That was also the Son of God. But he saw Jesus in that flesh that he took from the Virgin Mary that crucified Jesus. He saw the Son of Man standing. Why was he standing? He was interceding there for Stephen as they stoned him to death. Interceding in behalf of Stephen as they stoned him. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Yes, Stephen, as they were stoning, looked up into heaven, saw Jesus. So I know one thing about this heavenly home. I know one thing about this heaven and immortal glory that we're headed to. Jesus is there right now. Where is he at? He's seated at the right hand of God. I know another thing about it. I know it's the residing place of God the Father. God the Father resides there because Jesus is there, seated there at the right hand of the very throne of God. Now, we want to close out this morning to leave some time here for Brother Will to preach to you. There's another few verses in the book of Revelation that tells me who it is and how many it is that'll be there in this heavenly home, in this heavenly place. How many is it, you say? Well, I can't give you a number, but I know God knows every one of them. It's an innumerable host, and it includes all that God the Father gave to the Son in a covenant of grace before the world was, and every last one of them will be with him in heaven and immortal glory when Jesus comes back to receive them to go up into heaven with him. This is what John recorded for us in the book of Revelation. Now this is a recording in the book of Revelation about who it is that'll be in heaven. And this is what John saw. Verse 9 of chapter 7 says this, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. I don't know how many it was, but I know John described it as a great multitude. It was so many. It was so many. He couldn't even number them. He said it was a great multitude which no man could number. Now you may want to try to number them. I've been with religious organizations in the past in my life, a few years back, that tried to number them and try to tell who they were, all based upon what they do here in this world. But this is a great number that no man could number. You can't number them. Is there a number? Yes, there is a number. And God knows the exact number. And God knows every single one of them. And I agree with one thing I heard. I didn't hear him say it myself because I never heard Elder Pat Bird. But they say Elder Pat Bird from South Georgia said one time, if one child of God dies and ends up in hell, God would ransack hell to get him out. Well, that's not going to happen. I hate to tell you that, Brother Bird. They're going to all be in heaven without the loss of a single one of them. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude that no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. Did you hear that? They were clothed in white robes. What does white represent? White represents no sin. White represents you've been covered by the blood and you have no sin in you. White means they have been they have had the robes of righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed unto them, and they stand before this throne clothed clothed in white robes, which make them perfect before God, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Salvation. They were given credit not to anything they did. They didn't say salvation because I came down the aisle, took the preacher's hand, and was baptized. No, they didn't say, well, it's because I turned my heart over to Jesus and he took me in and I became his. No, it didn't say that. Salvation unto our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. What's that Lamb? The Lamb is that one Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that saved us when he went to the cross and died on the cross to redeem us from our sins. Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Yes, this is where the elect family of God is headed. Our heavenly home, heaven and immortal glory. A place that God has prepared, that Christ has gone back and prepared a place for us. And when he gets it ready, he's leaving the throne of God. And the last little heir of God has been quickened and given eternal life. He's coming back to receive us unto himself. Those that have gone the way of the grave, change from a corruptible to be made incorruptible. Those of us who are alive and remain, change from this mortal state we're in to an immortal, going up to be with Jesus, and he's taking us to heaven and immortal glory, our heavenly home. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you, is my prayer. Please pray for Elder Martin as he comes to preach to you.
Oh, my way, God, and word.
28. Number 28.
We gather together to pass the Lord's blessing. He faces and hastens his will to make known the big oppressing as he is from the stretching. Sing praises to his name, he for his heart is home. Share, but our soul he doth bring. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus, ready, stands to help you, full of pity, love, and power. Now ye needy, come and welcome God's free bounty.
Thou art worthy, thou alone,
Free.